Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the living Lord Jesus the Christ, whose birth we celebrate tonight. In December of 1965, a Charlie Brown Christmas aired for the first time, and nearly everyone involved in that project was sure it was going to be a disaster. Making a TV program of Charles Schulz's popular comic strip had always seemed a little risky. After all, it focused on a somewhat dour lead character, Charlie Brown, an odd, not very popular kid who failed far more often than he succeeded, something symbolized by him falling again and again for the same old trick of having the football pulled back just as he went to kick it. Making a special Christmas program about him seemed an even bigger risk, especially given some of the choices made. For the first time in television history, for instance, child actors had been hired to portray child characters. There was no laugh track, something considered essential at the time. The soundtrack was rather moody, composed mostly of jazz. And the theme of the program, in contrast to other specials like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or Frosty the Snowman, was explicitly religious. And most unusual of all, Linus, Charlie Brown's shy, oddly reflective best friend, takes center stage at the climax of the program and recites the Christmas story from St. Luke's Gospel, in the King James Version, no less. The producers and director had resisted most of these decisions and were particularly concerned about Linus' recitation of six verses from Luke. It would narrow the potential viewing audience. People wouldn't know what to make of it. It would be off-putting and feel clunky as part of an animated TV special. They were so sure it would fail, in fact, that they actually thought of canceling the show right up to the last minute. But then came one of the great surprises of television history. Because when A Charlie Brown Christmas debuted on December the 9th, 1965, it captured nearly half of the possible viewing audience that evening. It was an instant hit, garnering nearly unanimous critical acclaim and winning several prestigious awards. Since then, it has been aired at least once every Christmas season. Now, we have neither Nielsen ratings nor official counts of the number of folks who initially listened to St. Luke's account of Jesus' birth, of course. But my guess is that most of those who first read or heard it were similarly surprised and perhaps even unimpressed. It wasn't the writing. Luke always had a flair for storytelling. Rather, it was the characters Luke described that was so surprising. After beginning, as a good historian should, on the world stage, telling of the decree of Emperor Augustus to take a census, Luke shifts his attention from the rich and powerful to a pair of ordinary, everyday, even mundane, and thoroughly unremarkable characters and tells the story of their journey, not to Rome or Athens or even Jerusalem, but rather to Bethlehem, a backwater town of the Roman Empire. In Bethlehem, they can find no one to take them in, and so these two homeless transients make a makeshift stable for themselves in a stable, give birth to their first child, and place him to sleep in a feeding trough. How, Luke's original audience might have wondered, how could God possibly be at work through a family like this? After describing this scene, Luke shifts his attention to those who come to see what has happened, and once again, Luke's choice of characters to describe is unexpected, because it's not kings or rulers chosen to witness this miracle, but rather shepherds. Now, at this point, I'm rather curious. By a show of hands, how many of you have ever worked with actual live sheep? That's what I thought. There have been 12 of us so far tonight. Well, to pay my way through college, one of the jobs I had was working at a factory driving the forklift in the early morning shift. And some afternoons, I would be called out to the owner's sheep farm to work an extra shift. And so I can tell you from firsthand experience that actual sheep bear very little resemblance to the plastic figurines that dot so many lawns at this time of the year. In case you didn't know or were curious, sheep are dumb, stubborn, dirty, and smelly creatures. And the people who tended them in the ancient world for a living, pretty much the same. And yet when the heavenly host of God's angels comes to tell of God's great work to save the world, it is to just these no-account bottom of the economic ladder, dirty and smelly shepherds that they visit. I have a hunch that the very best retellings of the Christmas story always take you just a little by surprise. That may sound a little hard to believe on an evening like this one. I mean, we have sat through enough Christmas pageants with shepherds in bathrobes and makeshift angel wings that we feel like we know the story inside and out. We've been listening to carols, both sacred and secular, for weeks now, after all, and have driven by more illuminated manger scenes than we can count. And now we find ourselves here, dressed in our Christmas best, to hear the story from Luke, sing our favorite carols, hear our magnificent choir, and then to go home and open presents and to celebrate with our families like we have been doing for years. We know the story so well. What can possibly surprise us? And yet, if we're willing to be honest for just a moment and believe that Christmas is a good time to tell the truth, we might also admit that beneath our Christmas best, running in and through our traditions, and part and parcel with our preparations and our gift buying, all is not always calm and bright in our lives. Some of us here tonight may be struggling with a recent and difficult diagnosis. Others struggling with a difficult or unsatisfying relationship. Others still may wonder whether they will get into college or what they will do in retirement or how they can possibly move into a new year, having lost a loved one in the year just past. Each of us, that is a collection of hopes and fears, successes and setbacks, achievements and disappointments. And yet, more often than not, we feel that we can't share or present or post all of who we are, but only those parts that are acceptable. Which is just why Luke wrote his unconventional, surprising story of Jesus' birth. The God Luke tells us about, you see, the God we come to know best in the child born in Bethlehem to poor, transient parents, and who first kept company with stable animals and lowly shepherds, the God revealed in the Christ child loves all of you, accepts all of you, and came to save all of you. Yes, the parts of yourself that you share freely, but also those parts that you may hide from nearly everyone. The last and greatest surprise of this story, it turns out, isn't the characters or the setting, but rather its intended audience, because Luke wrote the story, you see, for you, so that you might believe that you, just as you are this very moment tonight, that you are enough, that you deserve to be loved, that you are worthy of respect, that you have enormous and untapped potential, and that your hopes and dreams and fears and all the rest matter. Surprising? No doubt. Hard to believe at times, for sure. Yet notice the message of the angels. They don't simply say, I bring good news, but rather, to you I bring good news. Neither do they announce a Savior is born, but rather, to you a Savior is born, who is Christ the Lord. And so everything we do tonight, the music and choirs, the reading and prayers, everything we do is to let you know the unexpected, surprising, and life-changing promise that God loves you more than you could possibly hope or scarce imagine. Near the very end of A Charlie Brown Christmas, in fact, right in the middle of that scene that made everyone so nervous when Linus is reading the Christmas story from Luke, something small, so small it's easy to miss, but also significant happens. Linus, as you likely remember, is best known for carrying around with him a blanket. blue and a little raggedy. It is his security blanket, something he has not yet given up. His friends tease him about it from time to time, and his sister Lucy is particularly hard on him, but he still has it. He always has it. Except as he reads Luke's story, he lets it go. When the angel says to the frightened shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for see, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people," at just this moment, Linus lets his security blanket, and with it, all his insecurities and fears drop away. That's what happens, you see, when you realize just how much God loves you. It may surprise you, even take your breath away at times, yet there it is. This child came for you. This night is for you. The story is told and retold for you and all people, so that knowing God's love, you might live with courage, compassion, wonder, and hope. Merry Christmas, for this child is born for you. Amen.